You're listening to Resonance 104.4 FM. My name's Louise Hilton and this is A Book of First. With me today is Bob Lind. Hi, Bob.
Hi.
How are you doing?
I'm doing very well.
We know that you've had a very colourful and very successful career so far, but tell everyone a bit about it.
Okay. I had a hit in 1966 called Elusive Butterfly.
Right.
Since then, I've had a sort of cult following. I haven't been famous for some time, but my music has been recorded by over 200 artists, including
wow.
Cher, Aretha Franklin, Eric Clapton, Johnny Mathis, The Four Tops. There's 200 of them.
And Pulp?
Well, no, Pulp actually did not record a song of mine. They made up a song, and they call it Bob Lind because they would say they wrote it in my style.
And when you started out, well, you were really into rhythm and blues, weren't you?
Now they call it doo-wop.
Right.
Nobody called it that then. It was, you know, the Five Satins and the Midnighters. The Platters sort of had some hits, and the Penguins and those kind of groups. Yeah, the Flamingos, did I mention them? Yeah.
And you start writing songs really young, at a young age.
Mm-hmm. Well, I started making up songs. I didn't even know there was such a thing as writing songs. What happened is that I would hear a song on the radio, and I wouldn't know all the words, but I could work out the chords.
Right.
So I would play the chords, and I would just make up my own words to fill in for the... And then it was just a very short step from between that and starting to write.
Okay, and when did you first get discovered?
Well, I don't know. I guess that's a difficult question because it depends on what you mean by discovered. But there's a fellow named Al Chapman who I credit for a lot of my career. He had a coffee house in Denver called The Analyst, and he was the first guy to give me a job as an acoustic performer. It was a very strange boom, this folk boom.
Right.
It lasted maybe 9 months, but it was intense. There were coffee houses everywhere, and everybody played them.
How did you first get signed? What's the story behind that?
That is an interesting question. The answer is, it was so easy. It was absolutely nothing to it. I thought, oh, music business? This is going to be great. All I did was take the first place I took my tape was Liberty Records. You know, Dylan was out then, and the Byrds were having some folk rock hits, and they suggested, we need a guy like that. We need a sort of a poet with guitar.
Right.
And I came on just at the right time.
Fantastic.
And the thing is, I've heard the tape that they signed me on the basis of. It is god-awful. It's terrible. Why they ever, ever signed me based on that tape.
Oh, you can't say that.
Well, I'm not being self-deprecating here. It just was not my best work by any stretch, and it wasn't well recorded, and I didn't sing it particularly well. But apparently there was a vibe there that's stronger than I am.
Right, maybe charisma and personality.
Whatever it is. Oh yeah, my sparkling personality, that's right. If my music fails, they'll always sign me on my personality.
And how did they introduce you, how did they get you involved with Jack? How did that happen?
Oh, that was an interesting one. You know, I'd known him, of him, for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I knew who he was. He was, you know, Phil Spector's right-hand man.
Yeah.
And my publisher at the time, Lenny Warnker, who was with Metric Music, suggested that I come in. Jack Nitzsche was looking for art, for songs, for artists. He wasn't looking to sign, to produce anybody at that
point.
Oh,
right.
So he came in and to produce me, I mean. So he came in and listened to some of my songs, and for reasons that baffle me, because I thought, you know, this guy has classical training. He's, you know, I mean, he's into opera.
Right.
He classical music, and liked my little folky things. I couldn't imagine it, and so the combination turned out to be something that actually surprised both of us. Well, certainly surprised me. Maybe he had the concept, but I couldn't imagine what he was going to do with these things, or why he would care about them.
Yeah, and you were really surprised with the outcome, weren't you?
Yes, delighted and surprised.
And
by
you
the
met
outcome.
Met a good friend as well, really.
Yes, we wound up to be friends. Yes, I miss
so
him.
That's good. Yeah. So the reason I brought you here is to talk about one of your first experiences.
Okay.
And the question I'm going to ask you is, when was the first time you ever sold out?
The first time I ever sold out. It's a very clear memory with me. As a little kid. My parents, we lived on an Air Force base.
Right.
My parents used to go next door and or to the neighbor's house and play cards. So it wasn't a big deal. It wasn't a home alone deal, leaving an eight-year-old kid by himself. It wasn't one of those things. I knew they were right next door. And while they were gone, I liked to read and had a dog, a Springer Spaniel. His name was Chance. And I was reading this book, and the dog came over and sat down. And I started reading to the dog. I was reading. And we just were sitting there on the living room rug, you know, this way, and I was reading to him. And my parents came home, and it seemed like a natural thing. He dug it, I dug it. My parents came home, and they thought that was so cute. They were delighted with that. So, oh, isn't it cute? Look at that. He's reading to the dog. Oh, I've got to tell, you know. So I liked my parents' approval. It felt good. So the next time they went out, I wanted to recreate that experience again. So I got a book and I drugged the dog over, but the vibe was different. The dog wasn't into it then. Dogs can sense that. You know, I was doing it for my parents' approval. I kept looking at the clock, hoping that they would hurry up and get back and the dog would get up and wander away, and I'd get mad at the dog and pull him back. And he was like, sit down here, listen to this, Chance. And the dog could read it. And my parents came home, and didn't have quite the same punch this time.
No.
And I looked at it, and I realized, I mean, my dog had forgiven me. He'd forgotten about it. But I remembered that I was angry at him. I was trying to get all this thing artificially together instead of letting the actual experience of what I was doing resonate and find this natural thing it finds.
Yeah.
You know, I was trying to manufacture it, and I've caught myself trying to do that, and I'm managing to catch myself pretty well on when I'm naturally letting this thing that I'm trying to find an audience for be real.
Musically,
aesthetically, whatever, and let the audience naturally come to it rather than trying to force it.
So is there a song that you'd like to play that relates to that time?
Yeah, I just happen to have one, as a matter of fact. This is brand new. Not brand new, it's within the last 3 or 4 months.
So what song is this?
This is called The Gravity of the World, and it has to do with what we've just talked about.
Okay.
I was reading about the astronauts. They were weightless out in space. Like floating flecks of dust, they soared and swirled. But when they got back home, they had to teach their legs to walk again, crippled by the gravity of the world. For no reason that I know of, I thought about life. The lies that protect our money, the lies that guard our pride, the lies that keep our trigger fingers curled. The necessary lies that keep our loved ones safe from pain, keep us tethered to the gravity of the world. I can still remember the lightness that I knew, how joyously this heart of mine protected what I knew. Like a brand new empty glass, and that coffins close those glasses when they fill. And the only thing that matters is the substance we've contained and the precious drops of truth we don't let spill. Call back the moment
compromise the things I thought I had to do. The lies that protect our money, the lies that guard our pride, the lies that keep our trigger fingers cool. Necessary lies that keep our loved ones safe from pain, keep us tethered to the gravity of the world. I was reading about the astronauts. They were weightless, they were weightless out in space, like floating flecks of dust. They soared and swirled. But when they got back home, they had to teach their legs to walk again, crippled by the gravity of the world.
Really amazing song.
Well, thank you.
Over 200 artists have recorded cover versions of your songs. Do you have one of those cover versions that you'd like to play now?
People often ask me what my favorite version of Elusive Butterfly is.
Yes.
And they're often surprised to hear me say this, but I love Petula Clark's. There's been over 70, 75 versions of Elusive Butterfly.
Wow.
But the reason I like Petula Clark's is because she was so unpretentious in her approach to it. She only sings one verse, she sings it very slowly, sings it with a completely different attitude that I have, which is something that I like. When I hear other artists do my music, I like it when they do it another way, a way that surprises me.
Well, we'll have a listen to that then.
You might wake up some morning to the sound of something moving past your window in the wind. And if you're quick enough to rise, you'll catch the fleeting glimpse of someone's fading shadow. Don't be concerned, it will not harm you. It's only me pursuing something I'm not sure of. Across my dream, with nets of wonder, I chase the bright, elusive butterfly of love. Out on the new horizon, you may see the floating motion of a distant pair of wings. And if the sleep has left your ears, you might hear footsteps running through an open meadow. Don't be concerned, it will not harm you. It's only pursuing something I'm not sure of. Across my dream, with nets of wonder, I chase the bright, elusive butterfly of love.
Do you have any records coming out at all?
As a matter of fact, yes, I do. It's a reissue of my first two World Pacific albums. It's called Bob Lind, Elusive Butterfly, The Complete Jack Nitzsche Sessions.
Okay.
And it was everything that I recorded with Jack, and it was basically the first two albums.
Do you have a website at all?
Yes, I do have a website.
Yes.
It's in a blinding flash of creative inspiration, I came up with the name of it, www.boblind.com.
Okay, well, it's been lovely to meet you. So thank you very much, Bob Lind, for
coming
on to
Louise.
Resonance. This is Louise Hilton on Resonance 104.4 FM, Book of Firsts. Thanks ever so much for being my guest, Bob Lind.
Thank you.
Enjoy London.
Thank you.